of the reign of Jehoiakim. Talked yesterday about the burden of Jehovah, and that's set forth within Jeremiah chapter 23. When they would say, "What is the burden of Jehovah?" Then shalt thou say unto them, "What burden? I will cast you off, saith Jehovah." And so that deals with that. All right, one of the things that we have in chapter 25, this is 605 B.C., the word of Jehovah came to Jeremiah concerning the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah. The same was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. One of the things that you have that Nebuchadnezzar's father was involved fighting with that of Assyria. And so the Assyrian Empire, who took the northern kingdom, and also those that were on the, ultimately, the east side of the Jordan, where you had Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, took all of those and took them into captivity. And so it was actually, Assyria that had planted, if you will, Babylon. It was kind of the offscourge of the people. You know, I think about the Australia where you send all your bad people. That's where they sent them. And the thing is, they rose up. Right? And so now they will ultimately destroy the area of Samaria. Jeremiah told them that it shall be to come to pass when in chapter 25, verse 12, that when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith Jehovah, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans. And so Jeremiah deals with all of that. He deals with a great deal in regards to that of his work. In chapter 29, in verse 19, we find of where Jeremiah, he says unto them, "Because they have not hearkened to my word, saith Jehovah, wherewith I sent unto them my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them." Now he made that statement several times about them. "But ye would not hear, saith Jehovah. Hear ye therefore the word of Jehovah, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent away from Jerusalem." So this is 595. This is Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar has already come in. He's already taken the group, and he has hauled them away. And we find that Jeremiah, in verse 1, that now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders of the captivity, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. We have, for your study, this parenthetical statement here is added in here. It's not within the time frame of the text, because he deals with Jeconiah, who was Jehoiachin, who was the last legal king, in there, and what happened with him, as well as he will with Zedekiah in verse 3. But we find that in verse 4, "Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all the captivity whom I have caused to be carried away captive from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and multiply ye there, and be not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto Jehovah for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets that are in the midst of you, and the diviners that deceive you, neither hearken ye to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith Jehovah." And so we find that 70 years that they're going to be in Babylon, Jeremiah deals with them in chapter 29, and he has opposition there as well. In chapter 35 of Jeremiah, we find that in 607, when he comes to them, verse 15, Jeremiah also, the Lord said that I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. Now, in chapter 44, that's what I want to deal with. This is different periods of time. I hope it's not, I've confused it too much. In different times that we have, this is the captivity took place in 586. This is 585 about that the people want to go they are in Egypt. And they have left the land, they've gone to Egypt, they're dwelling there. Now what I want to focus on is what we have is in verse 15. Jeremiah had gone to Egypt with them. Nebuchadnezzar told his captives, you leave Jeremiah alone. Leave him alone. You know, he tried to warn these people, you leave him alone. And so Jeremiah had pretty well free course in where he went to come and go, do what you want. He went with them to Egypt. Now here's the time, here's what they had developed while they were in Egypt. In verse 15, then all the men who knew that their wives, this is chapter 44, all the men who knew that their wives burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great assembly, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of Jehovah, we will not hearken unto thee. Now you think about how bold this is. Jeremiah has been a prophet among Israel for over 40 years that he has been working and trying to get the people to do what the Lord would have them to do. They defied him when they went to Egypt, and now they get there, and Jeremiah approaches them in regard to their error, and they said, but we will certainly perform every word that has gone forth out of our mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, our princes, in the city of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. But since we left off burning incense to the Queen of Heaven, and pouring out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her, and this is the women that speak it, and to pour out drink offerings unto her without our husbands, without their knowledge, without their approval. Have we done this? And so they are obviously involved in this idolatrous work. And then we find that Jeremiah tells them in verse 20 what was the source of their problem. Let's go to verse 24. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, hear the word of Jehovah, all Judah, and that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouth, and with your hands have fulfilled it, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Establish then your vows and perform your vows. Therefore, hear ye the word of Jehovah, all Judah that dwelt in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith Jehovah, that my name shall be no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, as the Lord Jehovah liveth. Behold, I watch over them for evil and not for good. For all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by famine until there be an end of them. And so we find that he sets forth this judgment that's going to come upon them, and also that of Pharaoh Hophra, that Nebuchadnezzar is going to deal with. The point is that we have, they said we will not. Can we ever imagine getting into a situation where the people say, we will not. You do your work. Okay. Here's what the Lord says. And they say, we will not. And we ought not to think that it's just isolated to that period of the prophets. These were prophets of God. Now, if they were here, they'd tell us the same thing that they told them. And that same thing with the apostles. We had the apostles here today, they wouldn't tell us any more than what we already have recorded. But we see this matter of where we have to ask ourselves the question as to whether or not we have the heart of a prophet. Would you put up with that? Would you endure that? At what end would you be in reference to what Jeremiah had to say? These men, they're women, they were involved in this idolatrous work, and all Jeremiah could do was to preach it. And before they went to Egypt, and before Nebuchadnezzar finally took the nation, Jeremiah was put in a dungeon, thought he was going to die. The Lord told him, you won't die. That's what he tells him. You won't die. But there were times he thought he was going to die because of the abuse that was involved. And there was a lot that went on in reference to that particular event. And so we have to ask ourselves the question whether or not we are and have the mind of a prophet. When we define the prophet, we find in Exodus 4, chapter and verse 12 through 16, that dealt with that of Moses and Aaron. We want to know what involved with being a prophet. And so we know the history of the children of Israel while they were in the captivity of Egypt. And Moses is going to be going to go to bring the people out of that particular bondage. The conversation that went on between Moses and the Lord in regard to Moses' ability to be able to speak. And in chapter 4 and verse 12, the Lord said, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt speak. And he said, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of Jehovah was kindled against Moses. And he said, is there not Aaron thy brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And it shall come to pass that he shall be to thee a mouth, and thou shalt be to him as God. And that's to Pharaoh, is what he would be. If thou shalt take in thy hand this rod wherewith thou shalt do the signs. If I understood what was going on in reference to that, when Moses went forth and he spoke to Pharaoh, it was Aaron that did the speaking. Moses told him what to say, but it was Aaron, because he was to Pharaoh as God, and Aaron was his prophet, is what he identified. And so the prophet, when we consider that the prophet, Aaron thy brother, shall be thy prophet, in Exodus chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. So we see, according to the definition of the prophet, according to, and this is from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia with the definition, according to the uniform teaching of the Bible, the prophet is a speaker of or for God. His words are not the production of his own spirit, but come from a higher source. For he is at the same time also a seer, who sees things that do not lie in the domain of natural sight, or who hears things which human ears do not ordinarily receive. That was what these prophets did. They not only told of future events, but they dealt with the people in reference to what God would have them to know. And what's interesting about all of this is that the people were all people. The problem is, we find ourselves into this category where we turn away from the Lord and we just say, we will not. This is what we're going to do. And Lord willing, we're going to look at the matters of how men and women and what have you go through the process of justifying deeds that are contrary to the will of God. Now, we may not be as bold as they were in Egypt when they said that we will not. We will not. I can't imagine to say, but sometimes we do that. We will not. I know what God says, but I'm going to do this. That's the same thing as saying we will not in that particular regard. And so, Lord willing, that's what we're going to look at. I wanted to identify with Nehemiah and Jeremiah because they are prominent as far as what the prophets went through as to whether or not we will hear them. We have the types of prophets. We have the oral prophets. Azariah to the son of Oded to Asa. And so Asa had been, he was a good king, but he went before the Ethiopians come up to fight against him. And Asa was able, with the power of God, to overcome the Ethiopians and to defeat them. And then later we find that the northern kingdom of Israel was coming up against Asa. And so Asa goes to the king of Syria and seeks his help against that of the northern kingdom. And so we find that in that regard that Azariah comes up and he speaks the word of the Lord. I helped you when you needed it. Now you're going outside in order to get the help regard there. So you have the oral prophet. The oral prophets, we find that Azariah had no writing. That's what we're dealing with. They just speak oral prophets. Uriah, you usually think of Uriah the Hittite. And that's what I did. Uriah the Hittite. But this Uriah was a prophet during the time of Jehoiakim. And during the time of Jehoiakim, Uriah had spoken against Jerusalem, and Jehoiakim sought his life, so Uriah fled to Egypt. And this is how serious the kings took these prophets, because he sent from Judah all the way to Egypt to retrieve Uriah, bring him back to Jerusalem, and put him to death. And so, you know, they're dealing with some serious aspects as far as their life is concerned. And you also deal with Barak, who did the writings for Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah had the writings, and he gives it to him and says, take this to the king. He's going, what did I do to you? You know, why do I have to go regard to it? All right, we also have in 1 Kings 18, this deals with the event of Elijah to Ahab. When Elijah, it hadn't rained for 3.5 years at the word of Elijah, he finally comes back and tells Ahab to gather all of the worshipers of Baal, to gather these priests on Mount Carmel. And so Elijah, he did not have a writing, but he spoke to Ahab in chapter 18 and chapter 19 that he was involved within the destruction of the prophets of Baal. And you would take Elijah, very strong prophet, that goes from the apex of euphoria, okay, because they had defeated. He told Israel when they come together, he said, how long go ye limping between the two sides? You're trying to serve Jehovah, you're trying to serve Baal, how long are you going to do that? And they didn't say a word. Not a word. And so when Elijah had overcome the prophets of Baal, they destroyed them. They killed them. Well, Jezebel, who was the wife of Ahab, her father in the north, I forget his first name, but it was of Baal. They would adopt the name. Like Claudius Lysias in the New Testament, that was with Paul. He purchased his citizenship, his Roman citizenship, from Claudius. So he was Claudius Lysias. That's what they would adopt the name of their god or their emperor. We have that today with Islam. They'll adopt that of Muhammad. They will, you know, will adopt those particular names. Anyway, we find that Jezebel said that the life of Elijah is going to be like those of the prophets of Baal by this time tomorrow. So Elisha goes to Mount Horeb. And it's in Mount Horeb where the Lord comes. First of all, I believe it was with the wind, and the Lord wasn't in the wind. And then the earthquake, and then the fire, and then the still small voice. And what he told Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You have work to do. So you go up north and you anoint Hazael, king of Syria. You anoint Jehu, king of Israel. And you anoint Elisha as prophet in your stead. Go to work. And what sometimes that when oppression comes about, we have a tendency to back off from it and see that. And I'm not saying Elijah was of old with me, but he did say that I'm no better than my fathers. Okay? I and I only am left in Israel. And the Lord said, I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Go to work. And that's what he tells us. Go to work. Do what we're supposed to do. We have to develop the heart of a prophet to go to work. We are a kingdom of priests. Peter identified, we are a kingdom of priests. And as priests, we have a responsibility to teach, either verbally, either by our life, or in some fashion, that we are setting forth and not ashamed of the God that we serve. And so Elijah was told, I was like, you know, go to work. You got work to do. And so he did that. You have the seers. Also, Samuel was one, a prophet and a seer. They for those that see, that sort of thing. And Edo, the seer, identifies that. And then we have the literary prophets of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Then we have the 12 minor prophets. Of the literary part. So these are the types of prophets that they had. And what's interesting that when I, you know, look at all of these prophets, it's the oral prophets that grabbed my fascination with what they did.